someone. Always trust my gut.
Hello and welcome to Gutted. I'm Elise.
And I'm Tony, and we're here to spill our guts about horror films.
Yep.
And today we have something special for you, another post-gut horror movie review.
For those of you new to the podcast, one of our favorite things to do is to review trailers of movies, horror movies that we've never seen before, old and new. We look at these trailers without any previous research and try to predict what is going to happen in the movie.
It's a fun way to both test our horror prowess and to confront our love-hate relationship with movie trailers in general.
So today we will be looking back at those movies and predictions and spill our guts about the films that we have now seen. We want to see if our predictions were dead on or if we were horribly off.
So for today's episode, we are going to be talking about the film Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
Mountaintop Motel Massacre, 1983, New World Pictures, director Jim McCullough Sr.
and written by Jim McCullough Jr. Okay, so when we first started the trailer reviews, I got the idea to do a trailer review for Motel Mountaintop Massacre after I was watching a YouTube channel called Mountaintop 9.
Yeah, tell us about this.
This YouTuber, and I think I mentioned this in the trailer review, but this YouTuber was very fervently talking about Mountaintop Motel Massacre as being his favorite slasher movie of all time.
Favorite of all time. And we're like, whoa.
So I was like, okay, what is this movie? So we watched the trailer, and the trailer actually looked pretty crazy. It looked like there was possibly some supernatural things going on, and there's an older woman who is, clearly the killer. She's the owner of the motel.
You thought the trailer looked crazy?
I mean, it looked fun. I don't know if it looked crazy, like the best trailer I've ever seen, but, you know, for an older movie, especially an obscure or a lesser known horror slasher from the 70s or 80s. I don't know if it was 70s or 80s. It looked pretty good. Like, I was very entertained by the trailer. Maybe more entertained by the trailer than I was by the actual movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say the trailer I did not have high hopes for after watching it. I was like,
Well, I mean, you can kind of get a sense of what type of movie it was, but I mean, I thought there were a lot of interesting things going on in the trailer.
There was a lot going on.
Anyways, if you want to listen to our trailer review, you can go back and search for Gutted Horror Podcast. I think it was our third pre-gut episode.
Who knows?
Yeah. So you might have to scroll back or just type in Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
Just find the one with the wordiest title.
But, you know, it's also fun to look at some older movies as well as newer movies. And I think recently we've been covering more new trailers that are coming out because there have been so many new horror movies that are coming and that look pretty good.
So 2022, we had quite a few horror movies. It was a horror boom. 2023, kind of almost comparable. And then this year seems like it's another 2022, where it's like there are tons of horror movies.
Lots coming out. I think it's safe to say that horror fans are actually going to the theaters or actually supporting and watching these movies. So more are getting made, and that's awesome for us.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, let's get into talking about this movie. So we're just going to go over a very brief synopsis of the movie, and then we're going to look back on some of our predictions from our trailer review and see where we were correct, where we were wildly off, and then just talk about, you know, if we liked the movie. And lastly, we will do our award ceremony and blockbuster ratings. So that's how it's going to go. Do you want to do the synopsis of the movie?
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tony slaved away on this synopsis, but I guess
I try to keep it real short.
I get to read it. Okay.
We have some cat visitors that are hanging around too.
Yeah, potato horror
cat. Pop in and out.
Potato horror cat's here. So is Freddy Clogger. All right. After being released from a mental institution, hotel owner Evelyn is still plagued with maniacal tendencies. One day after gardening, she stumbles upon her daughter Lori trying to summon her dead daddy. This sends Evelyn over the top with rage and accidentally kills her cult-obsessed daughter with a garden scythe. This only makes things worse when she starts hearing a voice in her head that tells her to kill more people because they all think she is still crazy. Well, guess what? She is, and she's busy. Travelers have been coming from all over to stay in her backcountry motel to get out of a big rainstorm. Now, with all the unsuspecting victims and some sneaky basement tunnels connecting each cabin, we get to see Evelyn do what Evelyn does best. Scythe.
So at this point in horror cinema, there have been so many slashers that have come out. But I would say the most notable and interesting thing right off the bat for me is that the killer is an elderly woman or middle-aged elderly. I don't know. She's definitely like in her 50s at least.
Yeah, she's not a spring chicken. She's an older woman.
Yeah. Would you say she's about the age of Mrs. Voorhees? Because Mrs. Voorhees.
Pamela Voorhees,
one of our first slashers, was Jason's mom. I mean, that's like, and then after that, we didn't get too many slashers who were kind of like Pamela Voorhees.
I would say this movie, after watching this movie, it did remind me the most of the original Friday the 13th. Only this time we know immediately who's doing all the killing. We know it's Mama. And in this instance, it was not fornicators who led to the demise of her child. It was herself. She did it. And I guess she was so plagued with guilt that she kept doing it.
Right.
Yeah, but she did remind me a lot of Ms. Voorhees.
So in this movie, they don't try to throw any twists at us. We know exactly what's going on here. You have Evelyn, who was recently released from a mental institution.
And in fact, the movie starts with a freeze frame picture of her in a very lame looking straitjacket. In fact, I think it's just a bed sheet that they tied around her. And she's looking up so forlornly. And it's like she was released after 3 years.
Yeah, so yeah. I like that. They set it up and then she's gardening one day and she's just getting pissed off at just things that she really shouldn't be.
Well, there's a guinea pig in her garden. Her daughter loves animals, I guess. And her guinea pig is in the garden chomping on the lettuce leaves, I guess.
So you can tell that she's still quite unhinged or disturbed.
Yeah, and she chops that thing up immediately. She's like, I warned her. Chop, chop, chop.
She's upset at her daughter. I'm assuming it's her daughter, Lori, and goes in to Lori's room to find Lori, or I don't know if that's Lori's room or maybe is that the basement, but Lori is summoning, she's doing some occult ritual and it appears that she's summoning her dead dad.
And I think she actually does it because she's like, Daddy, Mama is sick again. She needs to go back to the mental institution. But every time I suggest it, she says she's going to get me. And so she's in her chair. She's reclined and she's like breathing in and she's like summoning her dad. And there's a picture of him. And it looks like she actually does it. She's like, and then mom comes in and goes into a fit. She spins around wildly, hacking at the room, and accidentally nearly severs her daughter's head off.
Right. I think this might be my favorite part of the movie. She's just wildly swinging the scythe.
Yeah. Like, what did you think was going to happen? She hit some picture frames. I think she chopped a crow that happened to be in there. And then she got her daughter. And I feel like the head almost came off.
Right. And then they attend a funeral. And then, you know, there's a sheriff and he's, you know, just automatically assumes it's her. He assumes correct, of course, but doesn't act on anything. And then all of a sudden, like all these guests start pouring into her motel.
And her motel looks derelict. There's like wood rot. Like things are sitting on cinder blocks that look like it's about to buckle and cave in, but this motel is hopping.
Right. This is not a classy establishment like the Bates Motel. This is cheap. Like some backcountry. So the rooms cost $7 a night. And we did a inflation calculator, and that would be equivalent to a $25 a night room.
What a deal.
So for $25, what are you expecting?
Yeah.
Aside from like it to be infested with vermin and there to be wood rot and no heat. And also you might possibly die.
And I will say in the trailer, we're like, man, that motel's infested. And then we realize that it's purposefully infested. the Evelyn is releasing all of these creatures into the motel rooms of her guests. So
yeah, her motivations for doing things are kind of a bit odd.
At first, it's just like pranks. Like she's just pranking them. Like she puts like a rat in one room.
Yeah, but then she's got her scythe and her main motive is just to kill everybody. And there's not really a reason other than like a voice in her head. But, you know, that detail that you picked up on that maybe the daughter actually did summon the dad. I think maybe I wasn't paying attention enough or then was quickly distracted by the wildly flailing around with the scythe because that's what stuck out to me in that scene. But maybe it was that the daughter kind of summoned the dead dad's spirit. And then that was passed off to Evelyn. And that's what's
so you think,
driving her to kill.
You think Lori was possessed by the dad who then possessed Evelyn right after?
Well, that's kind of what you were insinuating.
Yeah, but then I thought she was like promptly killed. And then the spirit was like killed again too.
Who knows? Who knows? anyways, maybe you could read that detail into the motivation for Evelyn to just start scything people left and right. And she's like kind of like tunneling under. She has these basement tunnels that connect from cabin to cabin.
Very elaborate.
With a door that is not so secretive at all. It's like, here's a poorly cut rug that is in the bathroom. I wonder what's under it.
Honestly, the basements seem to be more put together than the actual rooms. Like the basement was very well lit. It seemed like she took a lot of care in this basement and all the rooms were just full of mold and cockroaches that she released into the rooms.
Yeah.
I just want to get back to like the vermin. I'm like, she escalated quickly. She went from releasing rats to releasing a snake, to releasing some cockroaches. Like, what did she think was going to happen to the guy that had cockroaches in his room? Like, no one dies by cockroaches.
I'm not sure. Yeah. At that point, why she did that, I don't think it makes any sense. I feel like in the movie, they wanted to gross people out, or maybe they just had an animal or insect wrangler on set that also had, they're like, hey, I got snakes. I also have cockroaches. You want to use those? And they're like, sure. Yeah, ride it in.
Yeah, I'll throw them in for free.
But kudos to the actor who played Melvin. What was his last name?
Crenshaw.
Melvin Crenshaw.
He had cockroaches all over his face.
He's letting the cockroaches crawl all over him.
Yeah.
Kind of like in Candyman with the bees, yeah, where he was like, ooh.
I mean, cockroaches are just gross. They're not like, you know, harmful. They're just like, man, those are nasty. And yeah, that guy, this was his only movie, but he did a great job. He's like, this sucks.
Yes, he was one of the bright spots of this movie.
His presence was a huge reason why I was almost ready to get on board with the guy that had said this was his favorite horror movie. I was like, okay, maybe this is going to shock me, surprise me for the good. But no, it didn't.
Yeah, the random YouTuber whose review I found, he had quite a following. And okay, wait, did I mention that he has... Okay, so he has since, I went looking for his review again, and he has since become a born-again Christian and has deleted all of his content.
Yeah, to each his own.
Yeah.
But after we watched the movie, Tony's like, I want to go see how that guy's doing. So he looked him up and all his stuff's gone.
I just wanted to see what he said about the film, like why this was his favorite film.
Yeah, no, we'll never know.
We'll never know.
So the one guy that really liked this movie no longer likes this movie.
Yeah. Okay, well, okay, getting back to the movie, Evelyn, she's crazy. Okay, all these people start storming into the motel. Because there's a big storm coming in.
Storm.
It's raining. You have a newlywed couple with like kind of a cowboy guy and lady with she's got the Farrah Fawcett, but 80s style Farrah Fawcett where it's like blown back, but it's short mullet cut.
Kind of like not as cute Farrah Fawcett.
Oof. Yeah. It's like a really bad hairstyle.
It's like a Farrah Fawcett mullet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the dude looks like a country singer, Alan Jackson.
Okay. Yeah. We also have a set of cousins who just want to make it in the world of singing. And
I don't know what they're doing. They're just driving around and singing.
Well, they're in their little red slug bug and they're like, we'll show our family. We're going to be the first ones in our family to make something of ourselves. So they've obviously run away from home. even though they're like 25.
With nothing but their white t-shirts, no bras.
No bra. They didn't have time to grab them. but they have matching see-through white shirts and jeans on, and they get caught in the storm and they spin off the road. So they are left to their own devices and they're out of the car, their car soaking wet. I'm like, stay in your car. Why are you outside your car during this thunderstorm? Not wearing a bra.
Yeah, they're panicked.
They are pure panicked.
Yeah.
Luckily, some sleazy guy in a car drives by and picks him up.
He's got a car phone. So, you know, this guy is like a hot shot.
Yeah, he is a hot shot. And they're like, oh, man, you must be someone famous or a record producer. He claims to be a record producer and he's going to make him famous, too.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Sleazy. None of these characters are really that interesting. There's also a preacher who's already staying there.
Yeah.
Preacher Bob. He's already there. He's like the first resident there. He also spoke words at the daughter's funeral.
Yeah.
And then we have who I think is the most interesting character is Melvin Crenshaw. Who is a traveling carpenter looking for work. And he mentions that he's like so broke that his only choice is to stay at this seedy motel.
Yeah.
Whereas the other people, they kind of get trapped in the storm. So that's what brought them there.
And there is an interesting scene between the preacher, Bill, and the carpenter, Crenshaw, when the preacher is trying to just wax philosophically about his religion. And he's kind of preaching to Melvin, and Melvin doesn't refute him, but he doesn't agree with him either. He just kind of questions him about like, well, if I have good in my heart, then where does the evil go? And he's like, well, I guess that's there too. I'm like, oh, this Crenshaw guy is interesting. And like, oh, he's also a carpenter similar to you know who. So I thought like there are so many religious.
I wasn't reading that into
there. There are so many religious themes going on. I thought, oh my gosh, maybe Melvin is like Jesus.
Well, I mean, I like that you read those themes. I was not. I was just like, I feel like as I say, the victim fodder, they were just trying to fill up the cabins so that Evelyn can scythe people. And that's exactly what she does.
She did. But I really thought that like, you know, Carpenter Melvin would would either be like final dude or die in some like heroic sacrificial way.
Unfortunately, though, okay, we went back and rewatched the trailer right before recording this just to kind of refresh our memory, because that was when we did our pre-gut. We based all of our predictions and thoughts about the movie on the trailer, and they actually show Melvin dying in the trailer.
They do?
They show him with his hand off and he's like on the floor screaming. So you can kind of assume that he dies. I can barely
tell that though, because that was in the basement and it was dark down
there. It's pretty quick. They actually show like most of the character deaths.
I also love that in the trailer, they name off every single character.
I think we mentioned that in the pre-gut too.
Yeah.
That's like, it's nice because you have sort of like I know who all of the characters are.
I'm
Melvin.
I'm Tanya. I'm Bob.
And his big line, no way, Jose.
No way. And there is not anyone named Jose. Misleading.
Right. But, you know, as you could guess, Evelyn kind of one by one starts picking off these visitors. And then she is, Melvin, who kind of figures it out and wants to get out of there.
He does. He has some great lines. Like everybody else around him is like, who is doing this? And he's like, I think it's the old lady.
Yeah, he knows like, it. He knows exactly what's going on. He figured everything out very quickly.
And the preacher was like his best friend. They're planning on just getting out of there. But, the preacher dies before they can get out of there.
Right.
And he's like, I think she killed the preacher. I think we better get out of here. I'm like, dang, got it.
He's got it.
Get out of there, Melvin.
The only thing that was the thing that didn't save him was that he went along with the guy Howells, the
stupid sleazy guy,
the marketing guy.
Yeah, he claims to be a music producer just to sleep with the cousins.
Right.
And then he's like, I'm not really a producer.
They're like, who's doing this? We have to go after them. And when they figure out that it's Evelyn, or when they have that hunch and they find the underground basement tunnels, they decide to do the stupidest thing in slasher movies, which is go try to find the killer.
But Melvin fights it. Melvin fights it tooth and nail. He actually has 5 nails left in his carpenter tool bag. And he nails in like five of the six hotel motel rooms, or nails the basement doors down.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, I'm out of nails. And there's one basement door left. And stupid Hal, he like cajoles him and bullies him into going into the basement. And Melvin even says, why would I go down there just to chase some crazy old white lady or just to get hacked up?
Yeah, he's like, let's just wait for the cops. They're the pros. They can handle it.
Yeah. And he's like, why would I go down there to get hacked up by some crazy old white lady? Yeah. And Hal's like, well, we got to do it. It's what we got to do because we're men.
So they do. And of course, Crenshaw dies and Hal survives. That was kind of disappointing.
I was like, nope, I'm done. Done with this movie. Yeah. It was gearing up to be real good.
Yeah. But okay, Sheriff shows up in the end. You got the final climactic scene. There was a cool scene, which is Evelyn's death. And, you know, spoiler, if you haven't seen this movie and you want to see it.
I feel like we already ruined it.
Yeah, anyways.
We spoiled the crap out of it just now.
She goes to side the sheriff in the underground tunnels and sort of like the final battle. Who knows where Hal is? He's like off doing something else. One of the singer girls, I think her name is
Tanya. It's Tanya.
She's just like petrified in the room.
She actually has a really good scream.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
She's not that great of, you know, a performer, but her scream was really good.
Yes. But Sheriff shows up, they have their final battle, and Evelyn goes for the scythe swipe, and it gets stuck in this like wood rot beam. And then you can see it kind of crumbling, and then the beam falls and she ends up getting herself scythed in the throat.
Yep. Self-scythed.
Self-scythed. Yes.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And then it's over.
And it's over.
And then we have the end of the movie.
There's a kind of confusing moment at the end when Sheriff Tanya and Sleazy Hal get in the car and the POV is from the outside. But looking in the car, it looks like Tanya has some dead makeup on. Like yes. She's painted to be like a dead person. And you're like, oh, is this not the end? Was Tanya dead the whole time?
Or was Tanya, maybe she inherits the evil spirit and she's going to kill the sheriff and Hal in the car and then it continues on?
Yeah, but I think they ran out of time because they never developed that. Even though she obviously had dead person makeup on.
Oh, and a quick shot of the daughter as a ghost or whatever.
Yeah, looking on.
Really weird to end the movie like that. Leaves a lot of open questions that I do not care to answer.
Yeah, I think their budget ran out. But
anyways, okay, so that was Mountaintop Motel Massacre. What did you think of the movie overall?
I mean, I was bummed out afterward. Like, I was like, oh man, this is good. I love Melvin. He's doing such a good job. He's saying exactly what I'm thinking and he's doing exactly what I would want to be doing. Like, nailing those dumb trap doors shut, or at the very least putting stuff on top of it so she couldn't come back up. But then he gets it because Hal bullies him or peer pressures him.
It's funny that you attach yourselves to certain characters and then depending on the fate or the story arc of that character is if you like the movie or you don't like the movie.
Yeah, it's exactly what I do.
I would say overall it was interesting enough to like watch if you're real bored, but there wasn't anything that was like, oh my God, this is a good slasher. This stands out amongst the slew of other 80s slashers that exist in the world. I would say that the positives for it would be that I did like Evelyn as the killer. She was just like compelled by some force and she wasn't menacing or anything, but she had these wild eyes and she's just, it's almost as if she was wildly just slashing and just happened to
get everybody. She did look as scared as the victims. Like when she was scything people, she looked like she was the victim.
Yeah.
She's like cowering in the corner. She's like, oh, I have to go kill them. I don't know. She looked terrified while she was killing, which was interesting.
I don't know. I thought that it was kind of not that great of a movie, but I still enjoyed it for what it was. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know if I would watch it again.
Yeah, I was going to say, will I watch it again? Probably not.
But we do own it. So we have that possibility. It's a double pack.
It's a double pack with The Initiation.
I would watch that again.
With Daphne Zuniga. That's a good one. I like that one.
All right. Moving along, let's talk about our predictions. Elise, What was your best prediction for Mountaintop Motel Massacre?
Let's see.
You had some quite wild ones. You were going into the supernatural realm with possessed spirit dolls. So yeah, make sure to, it's only a 15-minute episode, so make sure to check out that pre-gut. You said something about Psycho meets Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I thought it was going to be like Chucky meets Psycho with a splash of Tourist Trap.
Based off of the trailer, we thought that there was the possibility of a supernatural element. There maybe kind of was some sort of like spirit possession thing, but that wasn't clear at all. It was basically a straightforward slasher movie. I know what your best prediction was.
What?
Your best prediction was it's like Psycho, but Mama Bates is alive.
Yeah.
So that was probably your best prediction.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I have like a wild prediction that did not happen.
Well, that would be your most creative, which we'll talk about in a second.
Okay.
My best prediction, I didn't make that many predictions, but my best prediction was that the main weapon was a scythe. But I think that was just an obvious statement. Because I have, so, okay,
it's in the poster.
I had more creative predictions, aka bad predictions. That being that this is going to take place in the Appalachian Mountains, just because a lot of weird stuff always happens in Appalachia. But the movie takes place in Arkansas. And I totally thought that those two girls in the white t-shirts were kind of in cahoots with Evelyn.
You did predict that they were cousins.
I thought that they were twins or cousins because they were wearing the same exact outfit.
And that's what they do. That's what twins and cousins do.
But I thought that they would be luring people over to the motel, like, kind of like
come
the...
Come play with us.
Well, more like in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the hitchhiker.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought, especially because they're like out in the rain with white t-shirts and
no bra,
trying to get people to the motel.
That would make sense.
Flashed.
Yeah. That wasn't a thing.
So I would say that was my most creative prediction.
Yeah.
And what was yours? You had a bunch of wild ones.
I did have some wild ones. I was on a roll during that episode because I was really excited after like starting to think about what the possibilities could be.
I think you just have a lot of ideas and you like going the route of supernatural. You always tend to go there because yes, if Elise were to write a movie, then it would have all these kind of crazy twists and turns.
Which is funny because I don't typically like to watch the supernatural subgenre of horror. I like slashers that are straight slashers. But
I'm always like, it's going to be just like a run-of-the-mill slasher. That's always my prediction.
Yeah, I actually would like it if it was a run-of-the-mill slasher. But this was kind of a little bit out there. It didn't make a lot of sense at times. It was just kind of like a tragic story of this person who had mental illness and happened to rent a motel that I don't think she was expecting to have any visitors. Like, she actually looked surprised when Crenshaw showed up. She's like, oh, you actually want to rent a motel room? Okay.
She was just happy out there minding her own business.
Yeah. So my most creative prediction was that nature was going to be on her side and there was going to be a lightning strike that would kind of make all of these travelers end up at her motel and she would kill them and their souls would go into this baby doll that's on the poster. Then she would have this like baby doll that used to be her daughter's.
Yeah, that's where you kind of had the splash of Tourist Trap because it's like somebody who is kind of dealing with their trauma or whatever through like dolls and spirits. I don't know.
Well, she had trauma. And when that happens and there's a thunderstorm, then you get to keep souls of the people that quote unquote wrong you and trap them in a doll.
Yeah. And have a bunch of little Chucky friends running around.
Yeah.
Anyways, none of that happened.
Nope.
Is it Mountaintop Motel Massacre?
Yes.
Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
And I kept thinking they could have, I'm sure that they named it this wordy thing because they thought, well, Texas Chainsaw Massacre did well and it was wordy.
Yes.
So let's make this thing equally wordy and add massacre at the end.
If you add massacre or of the living dead to any title, then you have a horror movie.
You have a built-in fan base, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I kept thinking like they could have renamed it just like Mountain Motel or like Mountaintop Motel. Even that would have been better. Just get rid of massacre.
So there is a little IMDb tidbit that says the production company added the massacre after the movie was originally supposed to just be called Mountaintop Motel.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just a marketing thing, you know, to sell tickets, because Mountaintop Motel doesn't really sound scary. But if you add massacre, like you were saying, then it sounds a little scarier. So this is really just capitalizing off of the slew of slashers that were coming out in the early 80s.
So yeah, Friday the 13th and Psycho, kind of like what we predicted, but in a very watered down bog kind of a way.
Different setting, different slasher, different weapon. And this is why people get slasher fatigue. Any last things you want to say about Mountaintop Motel Massacre before we get to our award session?
You know, I do feel bad that I was kind of just like shitting on this movie the whole time. So it's not terrible. And if you watch like 2/3 of it and then just stop, then it's probably really good. So just stop before Crenshaw goes into the basement and you'll be like, good movie. Crenshaw got away.
Crenshaw figured it out. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some good things to say about it, but I will save it for our award ceremony, because the positive things that I have to say about the movie are going to be part of my award.
Well, let's start with the axe, get the most negative out of the way first, and then we'll end on the high note.
All right. So Elise, if you could give one element, the axe, so an element or character or anything that you would remove from the movie, what would you give the axe to?
I think in the past I've tried giving the axe to not doing something, but that feels cheating. So I will give the axe to the guy, Hal, that was the pervy fake music producer.
Just so was he your least favorite character in the entire movie?
He was the worst, because he was trying to get with both cousins. And one of the cousins, good for her, was like, I don't feel good about this. I don't really believe him. And her cousin was like, well, what do you have to lose? All you have to lose is a bad night in bed. And I was like, ew.
There was this one shot that in the movie that kind of sticks in my head that is kind of disturbing in a way.
Is it when he's like topless in bed?
Yeah, he's in bed waiting for the girls. They're changing in out of their wet clothes and into something comfortable. He's coerced both of them to stay in his room because they don't have any money.
And I'm just like, the hotel room is $7. Be a kind person and buy them a hotel room or rent them.
But this is his chance to get with these two ladies. Anyways, he's waiting for them to get changed and he strips down. He's in this yellow blanket and the shot kind of cuts off, like the very bottom of the frame is like right where his nipples are.
You can't leave those
out. They're
out.
Kind of like sparsely hairy nipples. It's just like really, ugh.
He was very proud of them. He's like, make sure you get this.
What'd you think about his blue tighties?
His blue tighties? I mean, nice color, good bold blue. The blue tighties were honestly the least sleazy thing about him. The rest of him was worse.
Okay, so he's getting the axe.
He gets axed.
Because he was a terrible character.
He gets scythed.
I'm going to give my axe award to Evelyn's decision to dump cockroaches in Crenshaw's room. Because like you were saying earlier, what the hell is that going to do other than piss him off or get him to leave?
You know, maybe she wanted him to leave. Maybe she's like, I like you, Crenshaw. You don't deserve to be here. Get out. That was her warning to him.
Okay. Then maybe, maybe there was more to it.
Yeah. She put the snake in the honeymooner's room.
That makes sense. Put a poisonous snake in someone's room. That way they can be killed and you can't get pinned for the murder.
Yeah. And the honeymooners were kind of obnoxious, especially the husband, because he was like, don't you complain now. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. I'm a cheap new husband and I'm only going to let you stay at this motel that has wood rot.
And people were horrible in the 80s. What's wrong
with
the
wife
these?
Is like, I don't know about this. He's like, don't you start. I'm like, ew, this is the start of your marriage.
And that's why there's a lot of divorces in the 90s.
Yeah. And then he gets bit by a snake in the face right away.
Where he like serves him right.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, this is a good movie. And Crenshaw just gets cockroaches. That's why I kind of think maybe Evelyn was like, Crenshaw, you seem okay. Get on out of here.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Our next award is the first aid kit. So this is the award for any character that has died that you would like to bring back. And I think I know who you're going to choose. I think
the guinea pig. Just
the guinea pig. I should also say this is a new award. This was an award that Elise decided to throw in there one episode to annoy me.
And I am glad it's there for this episode.
Well, yeah, now it's there. Yes, we have
now I feel better that this is here because I can bring back Crenshaw. Crenshaw never died. Crenshaw got away. He saw those cockroaches and thought, this is infested. I'm out of here. Thunderstorm be damned.
Yeah. Peace out.
Yeah. So
you know what it was? He had a ton of clothes to pack up and he was only there.
He did. Like, I was like,
one night.
He was
like stuffing a big military duffel bag with tons of clothes.
Tons of shirts like all over his bed. Like, why?
Maybe he was trying to decide like what to wear tomorrow.
Maybe he needed it as padding because it did not look that comfortable, that mattress.
All right. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to also give the first aid kit to Melvin Crenshaw, who I thought was the best character in the movie.
Hands down.
Okay. So our next award is the Second Kidney Award. And this is similar to the first aid kit in that we get to choose a character either alive or dead to do a spinoff, a sequel, a remake, whatever. So who gets your second kidney award?
Honestly, I'm still giving it to Crenshaw.
Crenshaw sweeping this award ceremony. Yeah,
he lives on. So even though he has his hand chopped off, he's not actually dead. We might have seen his head also chopped off, but I'm going to say that I didn't. And that he actually lived and he went on to the next place and there's another establishment and he's the voice of reason. He's like, I don't know. I think it's the little boy in the back room. And he's right.
Yeah. You know, you get your hand cut off. Like it's like in the Walking Dead
universe. He's a carpenter. So he could probably fashion some sort of fake hand or hook for a hand, but he's not bad. He just has a hook for a hand.
I was just going to say in the Walking Dead universe, characters are always losing limbs and they just tie it off and they're good to go.
You just cauterize it with some open flame.
Exactly.
Boom. Good to go.
Okay. I might give my second kidney award to, what is her name? Lily? No, not Lily.
Tanya?
No, not to Tanya. To Lori.
Lori, the daughter.
The daughter, because we didn't see too much of this kid and she was into some crazy shit. Her room was just decked out with creepy dolls. She always had candles burning. She was into the occult.
She had some cool drawings, too.
Yeah, she had some really creepy drawings. We love creepy kid drawings.
One looked like Andre the Giant with a black eye. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
So, yeah, I want to know more of her backstory. Maybe she developed an interest in the occult after her mom was taken away to the mental institution.
And she's in the middle of nowhere, doesn't have any friends to play with. So she has a lot of time on her hands to develop this skill.
Exactly. So I want a prequel, a Mountaintop Motel Massacre prequel starring Lori, the daughter. It can be called The First Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
She's kind of like a twisted version of Snow White. She's friends with all these animals and creatures.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, she's got the snake and the gerbil.
Yeah, so how does she get all these creatures?
Huh, all right. A lot of interesting things going on there that I think could be explored. Mm-hmm. So if someone out there decides to reboot this franchise, can you call it a franchise if it just had one?
Well, it could be a franchise if you have one more. So you can make it a franchise.
Yeah. So I want to see a little more of this little girl.
Yeah. Little Lori.
And Melvin.
Our next award is the best intestines. Which death do you feel like had the most or best impact? Which death was the best?
What was my favorite death of the movie?
Yeah.
Do you have one in mind?
Yes.
If you do, you should go first because I still have to think about mine.
My best intestine award goes to, I don't even know her name, the female honeymooner, the wife.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if she had a name.
They never called her anything. They're like, honey, you shut up now.
Right.
You be quiet.
Yeah. So one of the newlyweds, the lady.
Yeah. The lady newlywed.
Yeah.
So when she dies, Evelyn scythes her in the face and you actually see the scythe coming out the other end of her cheek. And she's like, ah, I'm like, oh, that's actually more brutal than I thought it was going to be.
Definitely more brutal. The effect looked a little bit like they smushed some Play-Doh putty and some ketchup on her face.
Yeah, it was pretty chunky. But still, I was surprised. I was like, oh, they actually got her. Dang. So female honeymooner.
All right. Best intestines. Yeah, I like that.
She got the worst husband, best intestines.
Yeah, we got to see some good side action. Mm-hmm. So mine is also a little side action. So now that I'm thinking about it, I had time to think about it while you're doing yours. My best intestine award is going to go to Evelyn.
Oh.
Because she gets self-scythed.
Yeah.
After taking a swipe at the sheriff and basically that little bit of pressure, that little nudge she gave the wood rot beam in her basement corridor was enough to send the beam crumbling, tumbling down, and it just like chopped her right in the neck.
And that's
she gets a taste of her own medicine.
That's what she gets for killing the carpenter. Because I feel like she needed to hire him to fix up her basement. So that she wouldn't have died.
I mean, I definitely was thinking that the whole time. It's like, why is she killing off her clientele? That motel's not going to make it.
Maybe it was like a money laundering scheme the whole time.
I don't think she had any payments or any outstanding.
She had no intention of actually renting these motels out.
No, I don't think so. Back in the day when the cost of living was low enough to where you didn't actually have to have any tenants, even at $7 a night, you could afford to run your whole business and life.
She was off the beaten path. She did not need to be in society ever. And it was only because of the thunderstorm. It knocked a tree down that funneled all these tourists in. It's like, damn it.
All right. Those were fun. Two fun deaths. So yeah, there were some good deaths in the movie. So that's, you know, another positive. Mm-hmm. Okay. Our next award is the Silver Spleen Award. So what element, character, or, you know, anything about the movie that got your second place? It was your second most favoritest, bestest thing about Mountaintop Motel Massacre. Was it when the credits rolled?
You know, I won't be that cynical. I actually did like the score. Mm. When we were in the basement, the score had some very eerie natural sounds. Like there was like a water dropping sound layered on top of a weird bucket with water in it. Sound like boom. And then there was another like eerie sound that was like,
it just was some creepy. Like creepy synth sounds.
Creepy sounds that kept layering one on top of the other, but periodically over time as you got deeper and deeper into the basement, I thought, you know what? That was some good attention to detail, and it seemed to get louder as the tension grew, and I was feeling nervous for Crenshaw because of that score. So I will give it to the score in the final showdown.
I'm going to give my Silver Spleen Award to Little Lori's drawings. She was quite the artiste.
Yeah,
they were scattered about in every single room. Mm-hmm. I think there was a drawing of Abraham Lincoln in one of the rooms.
Patriotic.
And there were these other sort of drawings that was like an anamorph. It was a pig that was morphing into a human face.
Oh, scary.
And there was also like a man with like a bulbous face that kind of, you said was maybe like a premonition
Giant.
Of, oh, Andre the Giant.
The black
but you
guy.
Said when we were watching it, it's a premonition of the guy that gets bit in the face by a snake.
Oh yeah. Cause it kind of looked like a distorted man with a big pimple pustule cheek.
Yeah, the newlywed who got bit in the face with a snake had this giant pustule on the side of his cheek. That was actually a pretty good
That effect. Was good. And the guy's like, I think it's starting to feel better. And I'm like, ooh, buddy, no.
He's like, I'm getting woozy
You
over
look
here.
Worse.
So Little Lori, the artiste, the occultist, and the, I don't know, the little girl who died too soon.
The little girl who could, you know, she had a lot of potential. Very talented. Oh, well.
So, yeah, that gets my Silver Spleen.
All right. And our final award, the Golden Gut. Which element, character, or, I don't know, thing would you give the Golden Gut to?
The coveted Golden Gut Award.
The renowned Golden Gut Award.
All right. So for me, the Golden Gut Award goes to a scene. It kind of entails our main character, Evelyn, and it is the scene where she is just over the top with anger and rage. She starts wildly slashing her scythe around the room because Little Lori is summoning without permission.
She's literally spinning out.
She's slashing things. She's knocking down candles and jars and chopping off heads of dolls and oops, accidentally chops the head off of her daughter.
Almost.
Well, kills her.
Yeah, she definitely kills her, but not enough to cover it up. She actually does call for the paramedics. She's like, no, she's not quite dead.
But that scene reminds me of, do you remember the movie Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood? Another wordy titled movie.
That is very wordy.
There's a scene that they're parodying from Boys in the Hood where Sean Waynes is just wildly punching the air and crying because he's distraught and frustrated. But anyways, it reminded me a lot of that scene and it made me giggle a lot.
Did he punch a little girl in the face?
In the parody, he does punch somebody in the face, yes.
Good.
Okay. I think he punches grandma or something like
that. Oh, man.
I can't remember. I love that movie.
Poor grandma.
Anyways, yes, my golden gut goes to the wild side slashing scene from Evelyn.
Yeah, the scene that started it all.
Her best scene.
That was good. Not a total sweet, but my golden gut goes to Crenshaw.
Nice.
Melvin Crenshaw. I loved all of his scenes. I loved his lines.
No way, Jose.
Yeah, and he's like, you want me to go down there? Let's leave it for the authorities. That's their job. Exactly, Melvin.
Yes.
Oh, man.
He's the unfortunate, reasonable character who we were really rooting for, and unfortunately, he didn't make it.
And just like all the dialogue that they gave him, I really thought the writer, whatever his name is, McDonough, Junior.
McCullough? Yeah.
And so it really seemed like the writing was gearing up to make Crenshaw the final dude. Because they made
So him, you think Daddy McCullough said, nope, we're not having that.
Yeah, nix that. He's got to die. And I was like, man, I really feel like Junior wanted to let him live. But Daddy's like, no. Do you know the trends in horror movies in the 80s? He's got to die.
Right. So, yeah, we have to find the original script of this movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to have all of those elements that we wanted. Mm-hmm. And then we can just blame Daddy McCullough for cutting all these out. All right. So, yeah, those were our awards. I like those. That actually, thinking about those awards makes me like the movie a little more.
Yeah, I feel better about this. I feel less bummed out than when I originally stopped watching it.
Okay, so in our pre-gut episode, we also like to say when we're going to see this. Are we going to see this week, within the year, or put it on the back burner? You said it was a back burner movie.
It was definitely a back burner for me.
I said that I would like to watch it within the month. It took us a full year to get around to this one.
So closer to my prediction.
And our blockbuster rating. Where does Mountaintop Motel Massacre sit in your blockbuster? Is it a staff pick? Is it a main shelf, a bargain bin, or is it in the back alley dumpster with Kuso and with the brown bunny?
Well, I think this one's going to be a staff pick. Just kidding.
I was like, what?
Permanent. No, I mean, Potato Horror Cat is out of here. Thanks for stopping by. Initially, I was like, back alley dumpster. But no, now that we've discussed it, I will say bargain bin. If somebody happens to pick this up for a dollar, they can keep it. Give it a whirl, I guess, if you have a lot of time on your hands.
I think I was saying something after we watched this movie, like this would be a great movie if you were afraid of your grandmother, afraid of creepy little girls, and afraid of dolls, and maybe afraid of cockroaches.
Yeah.
Then you would love this movie. Yeah. Oh, and afraid of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
So for me, you said it was a bargain bin. I'd have to agree. This is definitely bargain bin. Although sometimes bargain bin movies can be fun under the right circumstances. Maybe you're watching it with a group of people and you're having some drinks, or you're just flat out belligerently drunk and you're laughing your ass off.
Yeah, this is in my 25-cent bin. You cannot return it. You have to keep it. Bargain bin.
Or is it a double feature drive-in? I think we probably got this for a dollar. I'm holding up the DVD cover with The Initiation and Mountaintop Motel Massacre DVD.
Yeah. Yep.
I wish there were some special features on that because I would like to know about the making of this movie.
I would like to know what this father-son duo had in mind and what their arguments were.
And our Letterboxd, so if you don't follow us on Letterboxd, we do rate and try to give short reviews for every single movie that we watch. And that is both horror movies and non-horror movies. So on Letterboxd, I think we are at Gutted Horror. Yeah. So what would you give Mountaintop? Did you already rate it?
Yes.
Okay. What did you give Mountaintop Motel Massacre for your Letterboxd rating?
I gave this 1.5.
1.5 out of 5.
Yeah, this means that I liked exactly one, maybe two elements. I think I was just disappointed. So I think I was going to give it a 2. But then I demoted it after Crenshaw was killed.
Okay. I probably would have given it a 2. But definitely not much higher than that.
Yeah. It like, you know, hovers between like 1.5 and 2. So maybe like a 1.75.
1.75. Yeah. All right. Are there any final lessons learned from this movie, from watching it? Anything that you learned or final thoughts on Mountaintop Motel Massacre?
My lesson learned is never be bullied by some sleazy guy with a mustache into going into a dark basement to chase after a crazy woman who has a scythe.
I mean, you can just hightail it out of there.
Trust your gut.
Yeah, trust your gut.
The minute you see cockroaches in your bed, get out of there.
Yes, that's exactly what I would have done. Mm-hmm. But my lesson learned is that if you come across an insanely cheap deal, don't do it. It's that some things are too good to be true. Too cheap to be a good deal. Mm-hmm. If I were stuck out in the middle of nowhere, I'd probably rather sleep in my car rather than pay $25 for some gross motel where I could either get murdered or at the very least tetanus. Get bed bugs.
Yeah.
Or some sort of like, I don't know, mold inhalation.
Yeah, some infection. You're going to have that ceiling crashing down on you the minute there's a thunderstorm. So
yeah,
definitely don't go in a thunderstorm.
We learn this in horror movies all the time. If it's too good to be true, it is.
Probably
and
is.
You might die. Well, yeah, that was Mountaintop Motel Massacre. Glad we finally saw it.
Glad we did.
Now you never have to watch it again.
Yeah, that back burner is done. Turned off. Yeah,
that's right.
Thank you for watching and or listening. Please leave us a comment, like, subscribe, or give us a rating. This has been another episode of
Got It.